guys, and welcome back to another episode of Your Brains Coach Podcast. My name is Angela Sharina. I'm your host, I'm your brains coach, and it is my job here to bring to you all the best, recent, cutting-edge, most interesting and useful brain-body tools so you could take better control of your thoughts, of your emotions, attitudes, effort, and most importantly, action, so you start moving your life in the direction where you feel it needs to go, so you every day get closer and closer to fulfilling and meaningful experience. Guys, today, as you probably guessed, we are talking about confidence. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never met in person in 15 years of my coaching career, and just never met a person who is 100% confident all the time. We all have doubts, and very often the most seemingly confident of ours, those public speakers on stages or performers of all sorts, from sports to business to arts, very often people who seem the most confident actually have the most doubts, and they still somehow do it and overcome these doubts to show up and perform and deliver, if not their best, then quite damn close to that. So how do they do it? You know, at first I thought, till quite recently, when I, while going through the speak performance certification, and also just thinking more about confidence. So before, I used to think confidence, it's 100% about experience. Like if you give 100 talks, then you will be less, you're going to have less self-doubts than if it's your first talk, right? Or if you cook an omelet for the 100th time, you are going to be more confident with flipping that thing than if you did it the first time. Or if you make a video, or if you record a podcast, for sure you're going to be more confident on the 100th times than on the first time. Like, that's a given. The more you do the thing, the more you prepare for the thing, the more confidence you gain. Because that also happens, because the situation itself becomes more and more familiar. And our brain is made that way, that whichever is familiar feels safer. And whatever feels safer doesn't produce that much anxiety and that much doubt. So the first advice, obvious, if you want to get good and better and something, if you want to appear more confident in certain situations, like speaking, doing workshops for myself, coaching groups, bigger groups, you just gotta do it more often and get as much practice as possible, and also prepare, allow your best self to come out by properly preparing for any of those situations. So that's number one, preparation and taking action in the arena where you'd like to be more confident will help you to be confident. But that's not the only thing that defines our confidence, our peak performance, and how much talent we deliver, we deliver into each moment. A lot of even top performers, athletes, people in arts, public speakers, a lot of those folks, they choke. And a choke is a phenomenon known in performance psychology and among elite performers and coaches. So choke is when you can do your best, you trained, you prepared, you had the experience. Think of Tiger Woods doing his, I don't know, one of the latest 100 or 1,000 tournaments, right? Think of that kind of mastery. So you have the preparation, you have years of experience, and yet for that specific moment, you choke and you deliver much less of what you are capable of, or what your skill set of much less than the skill set that you possess. Why is that? Well, as I've learned, again, going through this peak performance certification and reading books on confidence and performance, is self-talk is actually, if not the biggest, then really, really huge part of our confidence. And you can have all the experience, all the skills, and still not able to bring it to the table at the key moments when it really happens. And so today I wanted to share with you a four-step framework for training that confidence, the confidence in your self-talk. So your self-talk that, by the way, also produces emotions and then action. So your self-talk is just as supportive to your confidence as your skill set, as your experience, as your preparation. And I can tell you for sure that that self-talk, from my personal experience, really, really does matter. You know, when I made my first videos for social media, well, first of all, I remember I was really bad. I would look all over the place, not know what to say, could barely say anything, because a major reason was not because my skill was that bad and I couldn't do better, but I had this narrator in my head interfering all the time. How do I look? How do I sound? What are people gonna think about that? Even though still I have like 23 views on my first video that I did 7 years ago. At that point, I decided I'm just gonna get better and I'm gonna commit to 100 days of doing Facebook Live somewhere in public, like park or just on the street or at a grocery store, because I did a lot of nutrition coaching back then. I would just commit to 100 days of making these videos to just get over this internal narrative. And the more I did the videos, obviously I saw how I look and what I do and I adjusted. But also the more I did that, the better my self-talk got. But still, it took a while after that 100-day challenge to get that self-talk better. And it only happened when I started paying attention to what's happening in my head. And I only believe now, 7 years later, that I'm finally getting it, that this self-talk, I am in control of it. I can train it. It's like a habit. Sometimes you have good eating habits and sometimes you have not so good eating habits. And when you work on them, they improve. So guess what, folks? Your self-talk is exactly the same. You can train that. And believe it or not, but even emotions are like that. The emotions that you have consistently, the ones that are not serving you, the ones that self-sabotage you, those emotions are a result of the thoughts of the inner narrative that you have every single day. And so once you train the thoughts, you'll train the emotions, you'll change the energy, and that will produce different action, and that will produce different life. So that was at some point an aha moment for me. And this year specifically, I started working on that and asking myself this question. First, is this thought serving me? And if not, what is a better alternative? And then I also would investigate, like, why am I having this thought in the first place, to figure out what's underneath that, like what past events, what experiences gave rise to this thought, to this story in the first place. Why do I evaluate certain experiences or things more negatively? And that will give the rise to more negative self-doubting emotions that will stop me from taking actions that move my life and my business forward. So long story short, I want to introduce you a four-pillar framework that I learned from one of the top high-performance psychologists, Michael Gervais. Top four-pillar framework for training your inner narrative. And by the way, Michael taught this to elite athletes, and that's who he mostly, as I understand, works with. But then he worked with all kinds of top elite performers and has a podcast, Finding Mastery. If you haven't listened to that yet, then I highly recommend listening to that podcast. But Today, I want to share with you this framework that Michael shared on his course, Finding Your Best. This framework for improving your inner narrative to build up your confidence. And going through the course again made me realize that confidence to such a huge degree is a result of our narrative, of our self-talk. And once we create, or I'd rather say, once we train a more supporting self-talk, our confidence levels will grow. But hey, folks, I'm still not saying fake it till you make it. No, you kind of have to do the work and show up and train your skills and prepare. But you also have to train your inner dialogue if you want all of these pieces to come together at the right moment so you deliver your best when it matters the most. So four-pillar framework to train your inner dialogue, your inner narrator to support your confidence. Step number one, notice. That's where, by the way, it's important to develop self-awareness, and it's important to practice mindfulness with breath work and observing your thoughts and getting yourself back to the present moment, right? So step number one, notice. If you cannot notice, and that's where a lot of my clients actually struggle with, they're like, well, I don't usually notice, or I notice when it's too late. And that's why it's important to develop this more aware state of mind with mindfulness, like meditation, breath work, etc. But anyhow, step number one, noticing. Like, for example, when you were about to do something, something that you might have done like a talk many times before, and you might still have this thought, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too hard. Maybe their environment is a little bit different. Maybe you have more people. Maybe it's corporate and it's more important and your future depends on it, whatever that is. And you have this thought, I can't do this. So this is step number one. You notice that. And by the way, Michael Gervais and almost every other coach would recommend to you do the work upfront. You train your inner dialogue in the situations that are at lower stakes. So when you in situations at higher stakes, you actually have it down. It's kind of like you want to prepare, train your skills. So the same thing with your inner dialogue. You want to prepare, you want to train it in advance, not start training it or like learn this framework and then decide, I'm going to apply it next time I'm in this high stakes situations. Now, that's not the best moment to practice that. You practice before. There's also this thing, we don't rise to the level of our aspirations, but we fall to the level of our training, because under stress, when we experience this anxiety, we have cortisol, adrenaline rushing through our bodies. Under that, we fall to familiar, to something that we've done before. And so if you don't have training to back you up, then guess what? You're going to do what you've always done. So this process, you got to practice before in lower stake situations. So step number one, you notice, I can't do this. Step number two, you challenge this thought. Is this doubt really true? Or is it just playing tricks on me? And it's just a thought that I'm used to having, kind of like a habit, a certain eating habit, like you're used to eating certain breakfast and you know it's not working for you, but like, what do I do, right? But the second step of the framework, first you notice, second you challenge it. Is this true? Is it true that I can't do that? And that's where, obviously, it's handy to have things that you did to back it up, like your training and previous talks. Like, is this true? No, it's not true. And maybe to some degree, it may be true. Like, you've never done this specific thing before. And so you don't know. You don't really have the answer to that question. Is this true? But that's where step number three and four come in. Empower. Just first challenge it. Is this really true that you can't do this? You don't know yet, right? So empower. But you know that this thought will not serve you well, that it's going to make you more anxious, more worried, more doubtful, and that will compromise your performance. So instead, you notice this thought, you challenge this. Is this really true? Or I'm just not sure. And then you empower. What thought will actually lead you to better places, to better performance at that specific moment? And the thought might be, maybe I'm not perfect yet. Maybe I'm not the greatest yet. but I can get better with practice. And that is a more empowering thought. I can get better. I can do better. And then step number four, to make it solid and to give you this energy of empowerment, prove it. Remember a time when you faced a challenge and came out on top. That's your proof that you've got what it takes, that you can get better, that you can do hard, challenging things. And that's where you gotta have a stock of those experiences where you leaned into the thing that you thought you couldn't do, and you started doing that, and you got better, and you went through experience, and then you did it again, and you got better. Like with my videos, I sucked at video number one. I got a lot better at video 100, just like with this podcast. I actually need to listen to podcast number one. How did Angela sound at that point? But even at that point, I already did more than 100 videos and did a bunch of stuff, right? So you gotta develop. That's where do not fake it till you make it. But instead, as Alex Carmody says, outwork your self-doubt, meaning you gotta have something to back up this empowering thought that, yes, you're not perfect yet, but you can get better, and you did hard stuff that you thought you couldn't do in the past. That's where you gotta lean into those challenges, lean into the things that you haven't done before, and still do them, and prepare, and do your best to bring your best to the right moment when it matters, right? So you gotta build the stock of those experiences. So when you have another self-doubting thought, you can replace it with an empowering one, and then you can prove it to yourself. Yeah, that happened. I thought I couldn't do it. I thought I couldn't do that talk, and I did it in front of hundreds of people. And I thought I couldn't be great at videos, and I got better. And I might not be the greatest, but it got pretty good. That I actually like watching that, and I don't have inner narrative in my head, or, you know, how do I look, what do I say, etc. So the four pillar framework, and again, you got to train it before high stakes situations. Obviously, you'll also train it in those high stakes situations, but you got to do as much work as possible upfront. Load it up front. That's what also Michael Gray teaches us with all of his skills, is that you gotta do the work up front, just like an athlete. You gotta prepare, you gotta build skills before Olympic Games or whatever that next high stakes situation is. So four pillar framework for building your inner narrative to support your confidence, just like your skills do. Because again, even people like Tiger Woods choked, and a lot of performers had these moments when they realized, my inner dialogue isn't actually supportive, and I did worse, sometimes much worse, that judges would like, oh my god, what just happened? This amazing athlete just did worse than a high school athlete, right? That happens, and in most cases, it's the mindset game. It's the inner narrative. That what happens, because that thing really matters. So step number one, notice. And to be able to notice, you gotta practice mindfulness. You gotta meditate, do breath work, whatever practice you choose to do. You gotta learn how to bring yourself into present moment and stay there, staying present for what is. So step number one, notice the thought, like, I can't do this. Number two, challenge it. Is this doubt really true? Or is it just something that is habitual and that my mind just used to having, just like, again, a bad eating habit? Number three, empower. Swap the thought, I can't do that, for a more empowering one, the one that's going to serve your better performance. Maybe I'm not great yet at that specific situation, but I can get better with practice. And then step number four, prove it. When did you get better with practice? When did you overcome things that you thought you couldn't do? Prove it. Don't fake it. Your brain knows when you fake it. But instead, build a whole bunch of evidence supporting this empowering thought. And that's it. Four pillar framework. Don't forget, guys, front loaded, practice it in advance, not in the most important moment of your life so far. And you'll do a lot better and have much less opportunity or chance to choke and deliver much less of what you're capable of. Because I think that's the ultimate regret. Like, you trained for it, you practice, you put so much work and effort into that. And then in that moment, you just didn't deliver, even though it was in you. And that's the ultimate regret that I personally am trying to avoid. And you probably do too. So, 4-pillar framework, re-listen to this podcast and then start putting that into practice as much as possible. Notice, challenge, empower, prove it. And in the meantime, just keep adding those challenging experiences into your life so you have a whole bunch of stories to back up that empowering thought, and do your best when it matters the most. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for tuning in, for your attention, for your precious time, the most precious commodity that all of us have in this life. Don't forget to do me a favor. If you love this podcast, if you know the person who might need that boost of confidence when it matters the most, and that's what in their way, to share. You never know who it's gonna help. So share with at least one person, screenshot, put it on social media, put it on your WhatsApp update of status, share this podcast episode, and then tell it. Because when you teach it, when you tell it, you learn it twice or many times, and you get better while teaching that. And you'll understand also your gaps in the knowledge of the framework itself. So teach it, share it in any way. And till next time, folks, work on your inner narrative, because that really matters, and keep getting better. Talk to you very soon. Have an awesome weekend or end of the week or whatever day it is.